You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
A 30-year-old man arraigned on four felony charges, including attempted kidnapping, in a case highlighted by a Buffalo police detective on a podcast as evidence of wrongdoing by Buffalo Public Schools. WBEN's Zach Penkew was there.
30-year-old Shane Cronin is being held without bail after pleading not guilty to attempted kidnapping charges stemming from an incident at a Buffalo public school. Former Erie County DA John Flynn explains that out of the five charges, there's one that he rarely saw.
The luring charge is actually rather unique. I mean, I can't remember, quite frankly, in my almost 8 years as DA, if I ever saw a luring charge. It's a very unusual charge. A defense lawyer is going to attack the luring charge in this way right here, because in order to have the luring charge, you actually have to have the predicate charge of kidnapping.
Flynn explains that while Cronin waits for his next court date, more charges could be added during the investigative phase of the grand jury.
It makes logical sense to me that that investigation took place soon after the original arraignment, which would have been well before Detective High's podcast was done. The narrative out there that the district attorney's office here only did something or only investigated this after the podcast came out and after it was made public doesn't make any logical sense to me.
Zach Penkew, WBEN.com News.
All right, Zach, thank you. And you can read more over at WBEN.com. Redevelopment of the Skajakwita Expressway appears to have been put on hold by the State Department of Transportation. A draft of the upcoming Transportation Improvement Program lists the $100 million project to redevelop the 198 as being on hold. It's unclear if that means changes won't happen for the 10-year-old project. The Department of Transportation telling Channel 2 they'll be, quote, re-engaging the community in the coming weeks and months. When a project along the Skajakwita is ready to progress, the funding will be in place to do so.
All right, I'll continue to follow that one for you here on WBEN. Police in New York City took dozens of people into custody last night after anti-Israel protesters took over part of Columbia University's main library and clashed with security guards trying to remove them. The university called on the NYPD to help secure the building. The demonstration came as students at Columbia were studying for final exams. Columbia posted on its website that it had implemented changes to campus access on Thursday. Allie Bauman has the latest from Columbia.
Stop! You're hurting me!
3 hours after the occupation began, Columbia's president asked the NYPD to enter the campus library, and soon officers led the masked protesters out in handcuffs, two by two. At least 76 people arrested in all, put in vans and taken away as demonstrators yelled from the street.
The Trump administration cut more than $400 million of federal funding to Columbia, accusing the Ivy League University of failing to protect Jewish students from harassment.
The Trump administration today expected to unveil a multi-billion dollar plan to upgrade air traffic control systems. There's been a spotlight on them since that outage in Newark.
The FAA now saying it will replace antiquated copper wires with fiber optic technology and is working to boost controller staffing. But the CEO of United says that's not enough. He wants the FAA to limit the number of flights at Newark. The FAA says the airport can handle 77 flights per hour, but United CEO says they routinely approve more than 80.
It's Rhiannon Alley with the latest, and we'll see what's announced later today. Well, the town of Tonawanda's new spray park, which has been visible for the past year from the 290, is finally ready to open. WBEN's Tom Puckett has more.
The spray park in Paddock Park in Tonawanda is just about ready to open.
We have some 40 spray features highlighted with slides and other real nice attributes that the venue brings forward to us, and capped off by a 55-gallon water drum that dumps upon filling. So that dumps generally probably a good every maybe 20, 25 seconds.
Town of Tonawanda Parks and Recreation Commissioner Mark Campanella says while there were hopes the park would open last summer, there were circumstances beyond their control.
Today's day and age, you still have contractors that are faced with employee shortages and things of that nature. Weather, that's what we were faced with.
Campanella says there's been some testing before the May 22nd opening. Find out how that's been going online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
Oh, only a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, May 22nd's the day, but the weather, I mean, might be perfect even sooner than that because we're talking mid-70s.
Next week.
With sunshine for the beginning of next week. Really a sign that things are starting to turn around around here. Now you have this open. I think that's going to be a pretty big attraction for a lot of people.
There's been so much anticipation for it, right? We just seem to
It's in such a visible spot.
Right.
You know, so many people are driving by it every single day and looking out their car window thinking, hey, like, what exactly is that? When is that? Oh, it hasn't been open yet, but that'll change pretty soon.
How about this? A weight loss company is trying to shed debt.
It was founded more than 60 years ago.
I'm on the new Weight Watchers Freestyle program.
Weight Watchers has recently struggled and is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection to eliminate over $1 billion in debt. The company wants to focus on its transition into telehealth services. Weight Watchers acquired Sequence for $106 million in 2023, and it's now Weight Watchers Clinic.
Weight Watchers has doctors now?
It helps users get weight loss prescription drugs, including Ozempic and Wegovy. It expects to emerge from bankruptcy within 45 days, if not sooner. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
I love that. The Weight Watchers big change.
Right.
Wait, so I pay to join Weight Watchers, and then I pay for the drug that just... what are they doing here?
Maybe like that was
the downfall. Like, hang on a second. I think I could just do this myself if that's what you're all about.
Right. It's kind of crazy.
They've been around for forever.
Yeah.
And it's almost kind of amazing because a lot of these, you know, diet plans or whatever, they don't last that long.
They come and go.
Weight
Watchers has always been there.
Maybe not for that much longer.
Right.
Look, this Wegovy.
I think it's because of
Ozempic,
all of that.
All this stuff, and they're only going to get more popular and less expensive for everybody to use.
So it's no more point system. It's just, hey, here's a shot.
That's
the new Weight Watchers?
The idea that you'd be, I'm sure you could do the actual
points
Weight Watcher program, you know, however it's set up, but they have the option now. I think that's like a bad option to have because
who's not going to go for it?
If you go for it,
I don't
at the end
Weight
of the
Watchers.
Day, you're thinking, hey, why am I paying you?
Yeah.
I could, you know, I could just get this from another doctor who's not going to charge me whatever Weight Watchers is.
Remember when they didn't want to be Weight Watchers? It was just WW?
Yes.
That didn't work out too well.
No.
They were missing the F. That's what I always thought.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The exclusive WBN 7 weather forecast for this afternoon calls for mostly cloudy sky, but there will be some peaks of sun. Temperatures only into the mid-50s for highs, so we'll be on the cool side. For tonight, we'll see continued clearing. Overnight low temperatures will be close to 40. For tomorrow, look for increasing amounts of sunshine. High temperatures will be into the upper 50s, and the start of the weekend looks great. Mostly sunny on Saturday, the high near 60. With your exclusive WBN 7 weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Josh Nichols.
Fred Floss, professor of economics at SUNY Buffalo State and director of the Buffalo Fiscal Stability Authority, is on the WBEN live line. We're looking at the Buffalo budget deficit, which is somewhere around $70 million and plans to close it. Fred, the city got word this week that Albany is including the 3% hotel tax and parking authority in the state budget for Buffalo. The question is this the best way to balance the city's budget?
Well, it is a good way to balance the city's budget. It's an important first step in trying to close this deficit. But we should be very, very clear. It's not a solution in and of itself. What it is deficit borrowing so that we have time to come up with other solutions to be able to balance the city's budget.
But it's almost as if there are two separate issues here, right? And both need to be addressed. One is the very short-term this year budget deficit that needs to be addressed somehow. And then the other is the long-term fiscal stability. Is that maybe the right way to look at it, that these are two separate problems that both need to be looked at?
Yes, but they're interconnected. Is we have to make the correct short-term choices so that we can be on a trajectory to fix our long-term choices. I think we have to be careful, and we have to realize that we're still feeling the impacts of COVID, and we have to look at what's happening at the federal government as well, and the cuts that may be coming down to try to do what's best for the city of Buffalo.
You know, the hotel tax seems straightforward, 3% on people who book hotel rooms in the city of Buffalo. But the parking authority, what questions do you have about that?
Well, the question this week that we put to the Common Council was not that this isn't a viable option, but that what we would like to see, and again, I'm saying this as an economist, not necessarily as a control board member, but that given that interest rates seem to be going up, at some point debt service is going to get bigger. And that means that this project of creating the authority will become less lucrative. At some point, it won't be a good deal. And what I want them to do ahead of time is to be able to think about that and know at what point they should say, let's back off this deal because it's not going to help us the way we thought.
Well, when it comes to addressing this short-term problem, it seems to be a question of bonds versus this parking ramp combined with the bed tax, but the parking ramp gets a lot of attention idea. Is there one that's better than the other? Or, you know, do they kind of all do the same thing? Because when I think of bonds, I think of something that, you know, well, eventually goes the other way too, and maybe isn't necessarily a long-term way to fix the problem either.
Again, both the parking authority and allowing the control board to borrow over time are both deficit spending. Both of them are giving the city time to do what actually is probably going to have to happen, and that's raise property taxes. And I've said over the last few years that we need to raise property taxes. I think there's a lot of confusion over how much that is, what that means. For example, the median property tax in the city of Buffalo is $1,500. If we tax, for example, 10%, that would be $150 a year, or $11 or $12 a month. If that's what we need to do to be able to keep the services that are important to folks in the city of Buffalo, whether that's snow plowing the snow, whether that's police and fire, whether that's other community services, we have to talk about those trade-offs. Right now, the city of Buffalo, if we look at the top 250 cities in the United States, Buffalo, New York is 201st in property taxes. We are much lower than cities like Houston or Phoenix, Arizona, or a number of Florida cities. So that while we think we're a high tax property tax city, when we look at the numbers, we're really not. So what this deficit borrowing does, it allows us to raise taxes more slowly and give
folks in the community time to adjust to those increasing property taxes. But I want to be careful. That's not to say that we, the Common Council, shouldn't be looking at cuts where they can make them. But we need to have a combination of property taxes, deficit borrowing, and cuts. And all of these discussions have to be on the table.
Well, Fred, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Hopefully everyone will see that we're working to try to do what's best for the city of Buffalo and minimize the pain that we know we're going to feel. So thank you.
That's Fred Floss, director of the Buffalo Fiscal Stability Authority and an economics professor at SUNY Buffalo State.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.